All right. Thank you, young ladies. That's a good, encouraging word in song for us. They all say that anybody can sing or praise the Lord when the sun's shining, but how about when we're in the storm? Amen. When adversity comes, can we still trust and show off our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, the long one that has to do with the Word of God. I'm not going to get very much into it really tonight. Wednesday night, we've got our crowd divided up some with the youth groups meeting in another place, but we're glad you're here with us. And we do a little more of a Bible study on Wednesday night than we maybe do on Sundays. But Psalms 119, most of you know the phenomena that's involved in this psalm. If you want to learn the Hebrew alphabet, you go in your King James Bible to the 119th Psalm, and you find that it listed there as you run down eight verses at the time, all the way through the longest psalm, and you find out that each one of the verses references and refers to the Word of God. I'll read just a few verses, starting in verse 9 of the 119th Psalm. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now notice in verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. The commandments takes the place of the word here. Each verse representing the word. Next verse, the word have I hid, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And by the way, that'll work if you'll do it. Amen. Hide the Word of God in your heart. Holy Spirit will call it up just in time to save you sometime from making a mistake. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. And there you have the word statutes referring to the Word of God. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Judgments, place of the Word of God. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. There again, synonym for the word. As much as in all riches, I will meditate in thy precepts. That's the word again. And have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. That last statement. I will not forget thy word. This psalm's got so many phenomena in it. Like I say, you can learn the Hebrew alphabet from it. But verse 16 says, not forget the word. I will not forget thy word. You know, the Bible says a lot about itself. It says a lot about the Word of God. You just can't exhaust what it says about the Word of God. And here on Wednesday night now, for the last three or four nights, we've been having a little video clip, just a short one, where Brother Sam Gipp has brought some things out for us, and he does it in such a way that you can remember it. Tonight, I hope to do a little bit to help you just remember. You know, here's the problem. When the Jehovah's Witness knocks on your door, you forget everything you knew. Isn't that strange? But if you just get a hold of a few things and know them so well, you can say them even when you're nervous or mad or whatever it makes you. Amen? Honestly. Sometimes what you can use and know is better than just a whole pile of stuff that's been in one ear and out the other, and you can't call any of it forth when you need it. Psalms 138:2 speaks of how God looks at his word. It says that he's magnified thy word above his name. Hey, that's pretty much, because God's jealous of his name. Yet that's where his word is. Somebody says, yeah, but that's in the Greek or the Hebrew or the foreign languages. How about, you know, not in English. Don't kid yourself. God knows English. And God uses it. Amen. Amen. I've told you before, but in the Smithsonian Institute, the chief photographer, I can't call his name right now. It starts with an S, but it's not Smith, but similar to that. He got to making pictures of nature, taking pictures of nature, and in that he did a great big study on butterflies. Now, that's not too interesting to us fellas, unless you're of a certain... Anyway, butterflies don't appeal to most of us that much, unless you could use one for fish bait. Anyway, I get back to the story. But on the wings of butterflies, he has proven with his pictures, even wrote a book about it, that God wrote on the wings of butterflies every letter of the English alphabet. 26. 26 letters can be found. And I used that one time in a sermon away from here somewhere. I made that statement. Somebody came up to me and told me, they said, "That's right. And you know what the name of the butterfly is you found them on?" I said, "No, I don't." He said, "It's the monarch." I said, "That's fitting." Amen. Yeah, God knows English, and he uses English. I mean, you've seen phenomena. We've shown you in the King James Bible before. The first first verse in Genesis, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," got 44 letters, English letters. When you get to the last verse in the book of Revelation, guess how many it's got? 44 letters. That's no coincidence. So many things through the Word of God like that, that builds our faith in God's supernatural book. I'm not just teaching to the choir tonight. I want some of you folks to retain enough that when somebody says, "You mean you go down there to Landmark where they believe there's only one Bible?" Amen. That you can give an answer to that sort of criticism. I want you to pick up on some things. Amen. So they say, "Well, you know, that's those ignorant snake handlers." No, we don't handle snakes. And when we'd have to do that, I'm gone. If I can't find a door, I'll make a door. Get out of here. But when it comes to the Word of God, I want you to be informed. And we are not ignoramuses. In fact, just the opposite of that, we know where we're coming from, and the others don't. Truth. Now, here at Landmark, through the years, we've made much over the King James Bible. God's made much of it. He's made much of it throughout history. Amen. I believe much of the blessings that our church has seen well may be because of the stand that we've taken on the Bible. Amen. Believing we hold it in our hand. Believing God gave it, God preserved it, God used it. And I'd come to town. It was not quite as big as it is now, but still is not a metropolis. You know that, don't you? And I came here and probably took the smallest church in existence in town at that time and went to work and worked hard, but there's a lot of other preachers done that too. Why has God blessed us above some others? It just might be that we elevated His Word. And I remember, if you look over my shoulder back there, you see the Bible on the wall, and you see right in the corner there it says KJV. I've had more than one person come. That's been there since this building was built in, 73? That's been a while. More than one time I've had somebody visit and they say, "What's that KJV mean?" Honest. Because the new perversions have been around a pretty good while now. If you go back mainly to 1952 and maybe 1890, but that one didn't catch on. The RSV in 1952 didn't catch on, and all the other 200 versions since then in English, none of them really caught on that much. NIV now with the liberals to the left and all that business, but I don't get off on that. I do believe that from this place, God has spread His Word a long way too. I don't want to sound like I'm bragging. This really humbles me. I want to say this, though, in the right way. Just not too many weeks ago, got a call from a preacher I didn't know up north. And he first talked to my secretary, and he started begging her to get me committed to go up and preach in his meeting. And she basically told him I was too full schedule to do it. But I came in and I called him back. And here's what he said. He said, "Just come on Wednesday night and preach one sermon." Just one sermon. I need you so bad. Now, he had a big Bible conference, had over 1,000 people there that I preached to that night. He talked me into it. I said, look, that's an airplane ticket up there. It's a motel bill for me to sleep that night. It's a plane back. Do you want to invest God's money in one message like that? And yeah, he said, I want you to come preach about the King James Bible. Amen. And I went, and I thought about it. I remember when I was a pastor at that little country church. I remember when I came here and started off with less than 100. If anybody would ever told me a preacher I don't know from up north in a big church is going to call you and ask you to come and preach one message, if you won't stay for the whole conference, preach one message, and he's going to invest that kind of money to get you there and back, I'd have said, you're crazy. That day had never come. Now, why? It wasn't because I'm so good looking, though I'm sure that has something to do with it. Some of you college students say amen. You want a grade, don't you? Amen. Anyway, that's the only way some going to get it, too, by the way. I got you there, Jesse. Come on back with me now. I shouldn't have chased that rabbit. Come on back with me. That's because of God's word. Now, here's what the man said when he introduced me that night to preach. He said, here's a man that stood for the King James when it was not popular to stand for it. That's the statement he made. You see, what has happened through the years, the pendulum has swung back. And some of those that have attacked the word of God have paid a price for it. In all reality, all of a sudden, some of the best churches in the land are seeing the light that God blesses his word. Amen. And he has protected it and he's preserved it. And we have it. We have it. We have it tonight. Now, our ministry has been blessed here by the grace of God. It's also brought Satan's attack. I know that. Do you understand where the devil first attacked? He attacked the word of God in the Garden of Eden. Yea, hath God said? That's the first thing he attacked. He's not through attacking, but I got news for him. It's going to endure just like God said. Forever. Amen. Now, too many, though, have attitudes, and I hope you don't have this attitude. I hope you're not thinking it right now. Does it really matter, preacher? I want to say it does. Amen. It matters big. Amen. Small things matter. One word can make the whole difference. I think it was John Wycliffe in 1300s that was martyred finally. After he died, they dug up his body and burned it and threw the ashes in the river. They hated so bad that he was getting the common people to have the word of God in English. Remember the Wycliffe? Wycliffe made a statement like this. He said, to peel a thread from any word is to begin unraveling the entire holy garment of Scripture. How many of you ladies ever pulled a string and wish you hadn't? Messed up the whole thing? Sure. He's saying that's what you can do with the Word of God. You can get a hold of one string, one word, pull it, and mess up a doctrine. Mess up a truth. That's what Wycliffe was saying. One word can be so different. See if I can remember this right, I'll try. Back in, I think it was in the 70s or early 80s, Pepsi Cola got an inroad into China to advertise their Pepsi Colas. Well, you remember their slogans. The slogans we saw so many times over here said, come alive with the Pepsi generation. Well, they put up billboards in China saying, come alive with the Pepsi generation. What they said was Pepsi will bring back your dead. Oh, that messed up big. They just only had a word or two wrong. John Kennedy was president. How many of you kids remember had a president named John Kennedy? Okay. He went over, the Berlin Wall was still up. He went over there and he was making a speech. And he wanted to relate, and he's German, trying to speak some German. You'll find presidents and politicians trying to do this, trying to relate to the crowd. So he went over there and he spoke in German, and he thought he said, I'm a Berliner, like you. I'm a Berliner. What he really said was, I'm a jelly donut. One word or two, pull the thread, mess up the whole thing. So it does matter. It does matter if you just tamper with a word or two. That's why the Bible says, a man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word. Not every paragraph, not every page, not every chapter, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. So we're not just beating a dead horse when we try to give you some of these tools that you can know about a little bit here on a Wednesday night. Learn well a few truths. Jehovah's Witness knocks at the door. You know they don't believe that Jesus is God. You got a verse you can tell them? Have you? They say he was a created being. He was a little son of God. He was not God incarnate. You got that? Can you go to John chapter 10 and show them over there where Jesus said, my Father and I are one? Amen. So that's short. You'd memorize that. Can't you do that? I mean, you can go over to John 10, 1, my Father and I are one. Anyway, it's in the 10th chapter. That's another place you show where you don't lose your salvation, but my Father and I are one. Amen. Stay with it. That's the truth. You can remember that one. Remember where it's found? Then you're fortified. You're ready to face that stuff. Now, most new versions change in key places. Now, here's the point, though. I could show you some verses. They tamper with truths about the blood. They tamper with truths about the deity of Christ. They tamper with the truths in the scripture that would teach that you're saved by grace and not works. And so they get earning your way in there. So those verses that you know and should know well in your King James Bible, many times that's the very ones they'll mess with. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. They'll mess with that. They'll mess with things to teach works instead of grace. But here's the point. You and I could spend forever going through the different versions, because the very version that has it wrong in one place may have it right in the other, but that don't mean that's a good Bible to use. I take the position, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I take the position that if God has used it, who am I to second guess God? And if God chose 47 translators, started with 54 and finished up with 47, and gave us the King James Bible, and they had the best manuscripts, and many of those men could speak and write several languages, and they put out the translation, and hey, they didn't invent it. God's true church, best people, were using the Bible in English. Even though it cost many of them their lives, they were using the Bible in English from the 1200s on, before 1611. But then God put his masterpiece when he brought out the 1611. And for over 400 years, we're still using it like God has blessed through the years. You know the story. No other version in English can claim that. Not even close. So that tells me which one you're going to use, preacher. How about the one God's been using? Amen. Isn't that an honest way to do it? Amen. I think it is. So anyway, get a hold of a few things. These new versions will change it in those places. But don't get bogged down that I got to check out your version to see if it's all right. You don't even have to open it up. You heard Sam Gipp on the video the other night tell the college student, there's two Bibles, just two. Yep. What he means is all of them either came from the right background, which is the King James, or they came from the wrong background, And all you got to do is look at a few words to see which background it come from. Now, we've come to all kind of deception and trickery in the day that we live in. But I want to give you a few little examples. I said a while ago, they mess with the blood, they mess with the deity, they mess with works and grace, and one of the other places they mess with is the word hell. Somebody made the statement one time, and probably rightly so, that when somebody starts taking the fire out of hell, they may be planning on moving in. When they start taking out the fire and putting in air conditioning, maybe they're planning a reservation. That's the sad truth, but most of us know that the Jehovah's Witness go around ringing doorbells. They got a little cliche I like to use. Ringing doorbells, singing a little dilly, all is well, there is no hell. They want to make themselves believe that. Because deep inside there's a conviction about the results of sin. And truth is, though, they got to change the word. And they do that. I brought a few books just off the shelf, and as time allows, I may mess with this just a little bit here. This is a Jehovah's Witness Bible. It's a lie on the front cover. It says holy. It's not. It's perverted. But it's called the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures. So that means they mess with it. And they mess with it because there's certain doctrines in it they don't like. So they try to change it. One of the doctrines that they hold is that when you die, your soul is stuck to your body on the inside. So soul goes with the body to the funeral home. It goes in the casket, and then it goes in the ground. That's their doctrine. Soul is stuck to the body. You sleep, you know nothing. If you've been good enough, when the kingdom age comes, the millennial reign, you'll be called forth to rule with Christ. If your works and deeds have not been good enough, you never know nothing. You're annihilated. Soul has no life on the other side. The soul stays with the body. Now, it's a doctrine. The truth of the Bible is, Paul said to the Corinthians church, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And the scripture all the way through backs that up. So they had to go through to make this new translation. They had to change everything they could to match that doctrine. But when you go through changing everything, there's a big chance you may miss something. And they did. And so you ought to write this down in case you ever want to use it. They missed something. Now remember what their argument is. Their soul is stuck to the body. It's put in the casket. The casket's put in the ground. It never knows nothing. No life, no consciousness on the other side, unless you've been good enough to be called out at the resurrection of the dead. Now that's a false doctrine. Now listen as I read to you where they missed a part in their own Bible. Now I don't keep one of these in my house, but generally when they show up at my door, they have that literature in their hand. I say, hey, put your literature down and give me your Bible. I look at their Bible, and I can tell it's never been used. The pages are sticking together. They don't know one thing that's in their own book. So I get them to give me their book, and I'll open it up to chapter 35 in the book of Genesis. And in chapter 35, you have the story as Jacob travels with his wives and with his kids, that Rachel begins to give birth to Benjamin. She dies in childbirth. So I'm looking at Genesis chapter 35, but I'm looking in the Jehovah's Witness Bible now, so I'm going to read to you out of it. And during the delivery, she dies. The midwife has said to her, be not afraid, you'll have this son also. Now here's where they missed it. Verse 18. Genesis 35. Look at it in your King James. See how close this reads when it says, "And the result was that as her soul was going out," not in the ground, but out. Now, King James says departing, don't it? Not a lot of difference in going out and departing. So you see, they missed it right here. That's what happens when people change the Word of God. God sets traps for them along. Now, the big doctrine that most of you know the Jehovah's Witness are famous for or infamous is there is no hell. All is well, there is no hell. So Luke 16 is one of the passages in your King James that explains about hell. The rich man goes to hell. He's tormented in the flame, remember? So guess what? They got to change it. So when you get over into their Bible and you pick it up in Luke 16 and you read it, and it says in verse 22 and 3, "Also the rich man died and was buried, and in Hades he lifted up his eyes, he existing in torments." Boy, they missed that too. Torments. "And he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." Now I'm going to stop there. I want you to look. Well, you can't hardly look at this. Mike, would you run the screen down? I got a little chart up there, and I don't want time to run out. He's got the screen down. As you flash it on there for me. And let me turn around and look. Can you make? All right, good. Thank you. I want you to look up there. KJV in English got the word hell. Now, you need to know this. The Greek word translated in your English properly in the King James Bible that makes hell, the little Greek word is Hades, A-D-E-S with a bark there. To properly translate that into English, you get the word hell. Now, that's true in English. That's true in Luther's German Bible. When you get to the Spanish word for hell, I can't say it right, but infiernos or something like that, it's so close to, I like to think about it this way, I help remember it. I think about it as almost got the fire in it, like an inferno. I know that's not the Spanish way you say it, but that's the proper translation of the word in Spanish. You got infernos, you got inferno in Italian, you got French, you could also see it in Latin. All of that is proper translation of the word hell. In the Valera, which is 1602, that's the Spanish Bible, it's an inferio, however you say it. But now you get to the New American Standard Bible, English. Now, what did they do? When you get down there, they did not translate. They transliterated. They invented a word, and that word is Hades. Hades is an invented word, transliterated. Therefore, if you, and I'll do it right here, right here I have a Spanish Bible. It's the 1960 version. It's the liberal wrong version. Now, a lot of good Spanish brethren just are mad at me over saying this. They did not like it when I pointed out a few years ago. They still don't like it, but it's truth. So if you open this one up, need three hands here, got too many books. I don't know Spanish. Pronto, pronto, si. That's about it, other than King Kasabi, and I'm not sure that is. All right, All right. If I go to this one, though, and I did not mark it, so I'm having a little trouble here. If I go to this one and I go to a place like Luke 16, where you've got the word hell, jumping right off the page at me, instead of saying inferno, or whatever that Spanish word is, it's got the fire in it. Instead of saying that, it says Hades. And it's H-A-D-E-S. You recognize it immediately. It jumps right off the page at you because it's a transliterated word. Therefore, it's not a Spanish word. It's not an English word. It's not a French word. It's not an Italian word. It's an invented word. Therefore, it's always spelled the same. If you got a Spanish Bible, French Bible, if it's the wrong version. Now, here's the key. You don't have to go through all the manuscripts. Just open it up to Luke 16. Open it up to anywhere you got hell. Now, sometimes they'll actually translate it hell correctly. But many times they'll have this invented word, this word Hades. And that's all it is. That identifies it. Somebody can walk out of the audience, and they do this to me sometime, and they'll hand me a Bible. What about this one, preacher? Well, first place, if it hasn't got King James on it, it's wrong. Amen. But I'll look at it. I'm a nice preacher. I'll look at it. And all I do is flip to Luke 16, or I flip to Matthew 16, 18, or I flip to Mark 9. I open it up. Hades jumps off the page at me. Wrong Bible. Amen. It's got an invented word. It didn't even translate the word, the Greek word, which would be hell. If it was translated, or in Spanish, it'd be that word, or Italian, it'd be a translated word, is what I'm trying to say to you. Now, the RSV, Revised Standard Version, come out in 1952, attacking the birth of Jesus Christ, saying it was a young woman, not a virgin. All right, they come up with Hades, which is wrong. New International Version, in some places, has the word hell translated right. In other places, it'll do something like you saw on the chart there in the depths, or change it to something else. I didn't bring it out. I should have. But one of the, and this is the one you students pay some attention to. In modern Baptist circles, they think, see, there's a stigma of believing the old-fashioned King James Bible. So guess what? We're going to keep the name King James, but we're using the new King James. The new King James. Now, most of us old-fashioned fellows, we don't get something new to something old is broke. And the Bible's not broke. We didn't need a new one. We don't need a new book, we need a new look at the old book. That's what we need, amen? So anyway, the New King James Bible, Hades, Hades, Hades. Even the New Scofield, not the old one, but the new one, takes and puts Hades in the middle, in the verse, takes the word hell out and moves it over to the margin. Now, they're saying we prefer Hades over hell. Say, well, what's wrong with Hades? No fire in it. No fire in it. Hades, you can actually go over, I guess, Italy, Greece. You can go over there and find the caverns where Hades is supposed to exist. A hole in the ground where a mythical so-called god by the name of Hades was supposed to rule over the place of the dead. No fire. Mythology. And so they take the word and not translate it from the Greek to English, because if they do, that'd say hell. Hell's got fire in it. So they make a contradiction. They put Hades in Luke 16, but in the very context, the rich man says, I'm tormented in the flame. One word denies it, the other word says it's there. Are you following me?
Amen.
All right. like for you to understand that we're not coming from a, don't let somebody stigmatize you with, oh, you're just an old ignoramus. You don't know. You hadn't been to hear Dr. Drydust at a certain college. No, sir. No, sir. You know where you're coming from. And you can recognize any perversion just even with one word. Remember, John Kennedy got be a jelly donut because he messed with the words? You know, you'd be worse than that when you mess with the Bible. When you start changing a word here and you start changing a word there. The truth of the matter is, God has put his stamp of approval on it. That's why we use it. That's why we stand for it. And you say, well, you don't have to have a bad spirit about it. I don't. I don't have a bad spirit about it. I got a good spirit about it. In fact, I got the Holy Spirit witnessing every time I read the Word of God that it's his. Amen. So just a little bit. Now, I'm not bragging again, but just listen to me. Just a little bit you got tonight, and you got last Wednesday night and last Wednesday night. Some of you students, listen to me. You could have gone to some pretty big name colleges and never got that. Through 4 years of it, you'd have never got what you saw in the videos. You'd have never got what I just shared with you tonight. So don't think, well, I should have gone to blah, blah, blah. No. Though you may have already gotten more than you'd have got there in 4 years on building your faith, not decreasing it, but building your faith that you hold in your hand the Word of God, the very Word of God, and the book you're going to see at the judgment. Amen. I'll tell you what, I'd fear to be some folks to have the audacity to do like the devil did in the garden and say, yea, have God said. Or another translation, better translation would be, who are you kidding? Some of these guys took a semester or two of Greek in college. And if you sent them over to Athens right now, they couldn't order a hamburger in Greek. That's right. They don't know peanuts about it, but just a little bit of book here and a little bit of book there. But the truth of the matter is, you and I have a God that knows English, amen, gave it to us. It's become a worldwide language. And even the unsaved intellectuals that teach English say there is no greater example in the world than the English King James Bible. Far as the quality and far as the eliteness of the language. I challenge you, get a hold of a few things. Get a hold of a few things, and you can handle the critics. You can disarm them sometime with one word. Just one word. I don't think the kids quite get out this early, but I'm going to give you a few minutes extra. I have had that experience a few times where I've had a so-called intellectual come to me